you need to learn it quick. Ladies and gentlemen, newly submitted Tennessee fan. Now, I don't know how long he's been a Tennessee fan. It might have been a while, but we're just now finding out about this. East Tennessee lover, WWE Hall of Famer, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat joins us this afternoon. Ricky, how are you today, sir?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well, thank you. Just finishing up off of my second week, to which I just had total hip replacement.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. I hope everything goes well. It sounds like, at least I've seen some videos and stuff out there, so at least you're getting some, hopefully taking some downtime and then, and at least enjoying kind of being off your feet, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I just had my second week visit with my doctor. He took x-rays. Everything looks good. Everything stayed lined up, ball and socket and all that. So he says it looks as though I'm ahead of schedule, so... At least I've graduated and retired the walker, and then I went to the cane, and that's been, graduated, and now I'm hobbling around on my own. But each day it's getting better, better and better, and it's only been just a couple of weeks.
Well, fantastic. That's really good to hear. And okay, Ricky, this caught us off guard. I think it caught a lot of Tennessee fans. I think all Tennessee fans off guard. Is when you started tweeting out the pictures with the Power T. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in liking Tennessee football in East Tennessee and kind of give us the backstory to this because we're all excited to hear about it.
Well, let's start a little bit of a history and go way back, when I was in high school, to which, I grew up in St. Pete, Florida. All right.
Okay.
And and you got the Seminoles, you got the Gators, and you got the Hurricanes down here. Never really watched a whole lot of college ball. I played football in high school, was pretty good at it. Wrestled in high school, was better at that. And then in 1975, I got into pro wrestling and did it for 20 years. And then ever since then, I've been affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment. And right now I'm an ambassador type guy, a spokesperson for the company, to which they do a lot of fundraising and they send me out if there's anything to do with the WWE and fundraising and to represent the company as a spokesperson. Now, I'm going to say almost 3 years ago, I met what is now my wife, Sandy, and she's from Oak Ridge.
Perfect.
And like I said earlier, I never watched any college ball. Mostly stuck with some pro stuff, being a Florida guy, I was a Dolphin kind of fan, not big, not strong, but, heading that direction if someone was to ask. And then being introduced to Sandy, and she was just such a big time, Vols fan. And, just us dating and the relationship being to, get stronger. Then she was always tuned in to watch the Tennessee game, and then it got me to watch, and just watching this team play, it got me hooked, and out of all the, college teams that are out there today, I guess through dating and then now marriage, I'm a Tennessee Vol fan, and very proud to say so. I probably have got now at least 10 or 12 different styles of Tennessee T-shirts that I wear. And you ought to see the faces that I get when I go to the gym here in Florida wearing a Tennessee shirt. you can just imagine.
I can imagine because I just moved up from Orlando myself, so I'm the same boat as you. But I have a question for you, Ricky. First of all, it's an honor. And second off, just jumping on this bandwagon at this time when we've been in kind of a downslope, how's that been for you?
Well, you're talking about the new coaching staff and so forth.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse, being a new Tennessee guy and just been really watching it just the last couple of years, and which have not been really good years for Tennessee, in my opinion. But, like anything else, I would believe, is in a holding pattern just to let this guy give a shot,
Right.
What was it? They just this last April, They had what, the orange and white game?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And Jarrett Garantano had a really good showing during that game, and spanked the guys 34-7 in that victory. That's a positive note. But once again, I'm a believer of this saying, and that is, a carpenter is only as good as the tools he's got to work with. You know, the carpenter in this situation is being the head coach, and then it trickles down to me, the quarterback. And everybody underneath, if they're all good tools, then we're going to, you know, that carpenter is going to be good. And, you know, the quarterback, and then it reflects back onto the head coach. So, you know, starting with good tools, I would think that we're going to have a good team. But this being the first year with this coach, you know, there's a gray area, and, you know, we got to let him prove himself. I would think, you know, getting into the second and third year, this is, you know, it shows the direction that we're going for this team. And but I'll tell you, for me, how I became a Vols fan.
Yes, sir.
Is, you know, I started going YouTube and some of the past games, and going all the way back to 86. You know, what was that? The Sugar Bowl.
Yep.
And we were playing Miami. And all the talk then was, with Miami, was, were they going to be the national champs? Or were they going to be rated number one? Blah, 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 blah. And sort of put Tennessee on the back burner. Well, we came out there in the Sugar Bowl, and we spanked them pretty good, 35-7, you know? But leading up from that point moving forward, the volunteer name, the never-give-up attitude, the drama... Oh my God! The fourth quarter dramas that this team has had over the years, with the games that were just so close, and that how these players never gave up until the whistle was blown to pull the rabbit out of the hat and win the game.
Some would say much like a Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in his prime.
Well, I've always sort of been that type of a guy. Then in a 30-minute match, 25 minutes of it, I'm getting my butt handed to me, but then that last 3 or 4 minutes, I sort of squeeze one through, which the fans loved, you know, the underdog type. But, you know, this team, you know, I think we're almost starting from scratch, and only time will tell in the next couple of years, you know, with the program and the new staffing and everything getting underway. And but that's what made me a volunteer fan, was the attitude. And I think that's almost the legacy of this club, this team over the years, is that they have that never give up attitude. You know, it's that fourth quarter drama with some of these significant games and the bowl games and the national, you know, winning the national championship in, when was that, 98?
98.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep, here not bad for a new guy for being on Tennessee, right?
No, you're absolutely killing the information right now.
Right, the information is just fantastic, and what it's kind of led into, Ricky, is this. What you're talking about when it comes to the never give up attitude, and it's something that you've probably learned over the last few years of getting to know the East Tennessee area and this Tennessee fan base, is this is a group of people that never give up on their team, even though things might be hard on them, even though the seasons might not have been perfect. This is still a group that rallies around the community of East Tennessee in this football team that they have here in Knoxville. And I think that just goes to show you how much passion and heart that this fan base has, something that now you're a part of. You will continue to learn even more, and I think it's just fantastic, and especially the way you're embracing it.
Well, I was just leading into that, and the way the boys out there playing, and the coaching staff, and then it trickles onto the fans, you know, grabbing hold of this, and the way they just keep coming out in numbers. I mean, what is it, 100,000 strong or better, and, you know, at Neyland Stadium, where it's just sold out and covered in orange. It just, I'm sitting here talking to you about it, getting choked up, and at the same time getting goosebumps. It just speaks a lot for that, you know, that area and the way they come out and support the guys.
You talked about your matches and your career, and we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Randy Savage WrestleMania 3 Intercontinental title match. Did you guys call that in the ring, or was that something you and Randy worked out beforehand? And just the build-up for that storyline was just picture-perfect.
Well, there were different circumstances, and, you know, that match back in the day, 80% of the match would have been calling it in the ring and feeling out the direction and the story that you're trying to tell. Leading up to big pay-per-views and big shows, a lot of times you get to work with the guy on some what we would call tune-up matches. And you'd work around the country and have some matches with the guy and try some stuff and feeling the crowd reaction. And if it worked, you kept it. If it didn't, you X-nated it leading up to the big pay-per-view. Well, we didn't have that privilege because if you remember, the start of this angle was when Randy came off the top rope with the announcer's bell on my throat.
Right.
And so that was the beginning of the storyline. And then from that point on, it was Ricky Steamboat ever going to be able to make it back into wrestling? And then was he going to be able to make it back for WrestleMania 3? And then, so Vince said, your debut is going to be WrestleMania 3. In other words, we didn't have any tune-up matches. And Randy and I, the first time we ever touched each other locked up was at WrestleMania 3. So getting back to, we had to start putting together just on gut feeling of the story that we're trying to tell in with the comeback for Ricky and then the match and then put it together and wing it and see if, you know, the final outcome was going to be what we hoped for. And, you know, through the grace of God, it came out. We intentionally wanted to go out and steal the show. We were hearing the numbers coming in of the number of tickets that were sold at the Silverdome, you know, 90,000 plus. The pay-per-view buy rate was off the hook. So we said, we got a bunch of people watching this whole thing, and let's go out and steal the show. And I'll give where credit is due with Hogan and Andre, you know, headlining the show and our two biggest icons, you know, pulling in those big numbers. But, you know, Randy and I, we did have our part in it. And we wanted to go out and steal the show, not knowing that here it is 30-plus years later that people still just talk about that one moment, that night at WrestleMania 3, to which Savage and I stole the show. But our intention was just to do it for the night, not knowing that, for me, it was still carrying forward 30-plus years later. I just wish that Randy was still around, that the two of us could share, you know, all these moments, all these appearances that I do on the weekends and go to all these different places. That's all the fans talk about. And second to that would be the matches that I had with Ric Flair.
That was going to be my follow-up.
Yeah, but the match with Savage and I was just so different, only because that was the first time we ever touched each other, and not knowing body language and how this guy likes to move in the ring and you know, so forth and so on, which is very critical because everybody's got a different style. You know, all the different heels that I've worked with in the business, they're all different. The way they move, the way they like to move, you know, and how they like to, you know, orchestrate themselves. But this was just, you know, we're going to give it a gamble, give it a shot. And, you know, one good thing that you had a couple of good athletes. Now, Savage was a great athlete. I think he played AAA ball.
Yes, sir.
You know, at one time, he was a catcher and got his knee banged up, I think. But this is, to me, what's made that match so special, because you're seeing two guys that hooked up for the very first time in their careers and to be able to pull it off.
You mentioned Ric Flair. Obviously, you were one of the most beloved babyfaces of all time. Ric Flair, one of the greatest heels in wrestling history. Just please, if you can, tell us some of your experience working with Ric and anything you can tell us on the air that's a good Ric Flair story without getting us in trouble.
Okay. 1977, I went to the Carolinas, and Flair was there, had already been there a couple of years, and was building himself to be the top heel in that area, in that territory. When I came in, he went to Crockett Promotions, said, you know, you got this new guy Steamboat. I'd like to try something with him. And that was in March of 77. In June of 77, we did an angle on TV, and from there, it just took off. He was taking me to school every night that we worked in that first year, teaching me stuff and telling me stuff and this and that. And he really started the ball rolling for Ricky Steamboat as to become a main event type guy. And that's, I give all my credit to Ric Flair for all the help that he gave me for that. A good Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair story. We were working in Charleston, South Carolina, and he hooked me up, what we call, you ever see the guy where he hooks the guy's head and he grabs him by the tight and he lifts him straight up in the air to give him a back suplex? You guys understand that?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay. Definitely.
In other words, the soles of my feet are pointing at the ceiling, and we're standing perpendicular, straight up and down, right?
Right.
And he's got I wasn't wearing long tights during that time. And a lot of the guys will grab your tights as something to grab onto. And
to lift you up, correct? Kind of give you that, yeah.
Right. And then I shoot my legs up. Now I'm at his mercy. He's got all my body weight. He's holding me, and I don't want to wiggle, wobble, or anything like that, because you could come down wrong and land on a shoulder or a neck or something, or wrong on the back of your head. So I'm at his mercy. And while I've got my legs straight up in the air, and he's got a hold of the side of my tights, he takes them and pulls them down over to the side. Now I've got all my privates hanging out, exposed to the crowd. Now, can I say this?
Yeah, you can say privates. Yes, yeah, we're on radio.
And then while I'm up there, he turns in all four corners before he drops me back for the suplex, but he is laughing because we are like, our heads are almost side by side each other. I'm upside down, and he is just laughing, and he's going, I got you, Steamboat. I got you, Steamboat. I don't know if he meant that he got me because of the rib or that he got me because of I'm holding you secure. Don't worry, you know?
That's awesome.
But after the match, a lot of guys had their little food stops, little 7-Eleven and something like that. And in Charleston, there was this one gas station. A lot of guys stopped to either refuel and go in and buy some snacks. So as I pull in, I see flares inside the store. And most times, if you're working with a guy, you would leave and go to another store. But there was a bunch of fans in there, and I said, the heck with this. So I pulled up, went into the store, and he's down there bent over looking at, you know, some snacks and something. And I stand him straight up, and I whip him around. And I looked at him in the face, and I said, you pull that crap on me one more time, and it's going to be a different story in the match. And I turned out and walked away, and I could just feel the heat with all the fans standing there, because they knew what I was talking about.
Right.
And they were all going, oh, boy. So I get home. We didn't have cell phones back then. I get home about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and my phone rings at my house. I answer it, and it's him. He goes, Ricky, I go, yeah? He goes, are we still okay? are we okay, buddy? You know, that was just a rib thing, you know. I said, yeah, Flair. I said, here it is. I pulled one over one of the best in the business. I just, yeah. But I said, I just thought it would be good to say something like that in front of the fans that would just gather around you.
You got to protect the business, man.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I had one more question. I'm a big fan of the NXT product, and I just wanted to ask you about your son Richie, who was one of the first major prospects to come out of that PC. Unfortunately, his career was cut short to injury. What did you tell him as far as preparing for retirement and just you're working with the younger talent in WWE now?
Well, you know, obviously he had suffered 4 herniated discs in his back off of one move. He was doing a moonsault and overshot it, over-rotated, which resulted in that. And, you know, he's a very positive guy. I know my son pretty well. He wanted to carry on the name, but, you know, he's working for a company back to North Carolina for Publix. That's a big food chain down here in Florida, but they have now ventured north.
And, we have one.
We have plenty up here.
Yep. Figured into management there, getting his real estate license. So moving forward, he's going to be okay. Although, you know, I think today's wrestlers, the shelf life is not like as long as such as me, Savage or Flair, you know, Hogan's, all the guys that, you know, we put in 20 plus years. I just think the shelf life now of guys is 7 or 8 years, maybe. And it's only because the school has a bunch of talent. I think there's like about 100 guys there, and everybody's waiting for a slot to open up. And it's just to keep fresh talent coming in. So the shelf life of a guy to put in, you know, a 20-year run, I think is going to be hard to do. But, you know, keeping fresh talent going. But to get, you know, these guys that are down there, there's a bunch of guys with great athletic ability. Everybody can do almost everything in the ring. The biggest challenge that each of them have is to find that character that the fans can identify. And you know what I mean by character. There was the Savages and the Flairs and the Undertakers and the Triple H's and the Shawn Michaels and the Ricky Steamboats. Everybody had their own niche. And for those guys down there, that's my biggest advice is when they talk to me about it, to try and find that character that is different from the guy you're standing next to, that the fans can grasp. You know, I'll give you an example. Bray Wyatt. Look at the character that he is with that New Orleans Bayou swamp guy, right?
Cult leader, yes, sir.
Yeah, and I know that he has tried probably two or three other characters. You know, when the WWE would call him up from the school and take a look, and they'd send him back down. But there's a character that the fans can. I think has really taken a hold to with, you know, with that type of character. So we got a lot of guys that are very good in the ring, but the biggest thing is to find who they are so that the fans can cling to and make them different.
That's a perfect way to say it, and a perfect example too with Bray Wyatt, who played football at Troy University, the Troy Trojans, down in Lower Alabama. So there's kind of a connection between the football and the professional wrestling and entertainment.
He was, you know, for a big guy, he's a good athlete, you know. And, and he's one of the guys you can talk to and you can see his light bulbs click on, you know. And there's some guys you could sit and have a discussion with about maybe you ought to try this or that, and that may work for you. And you get the deer in the headlight look, you know. There are just certain guys in the business that you can sit and give them examples, and you can see it to which, and actually go out there and try it and perform it right to the way you explained it. And Bray Wyatt's one of those type of guys. Seth Rollins had my hand in helping him out down at the school. You know, he's another guy that we use the term in our business that gets it, you know.
Well, it seems like what's going to have to happen now is you're going to have to get together with Glenn Jacobs, and you'll have to get together with Kevin Nash, and then you've got your own little stable of Tennessee professional wrestlers now, Tennessee fans. And I think the way that the Vol community has taken you in, and the way that you've done this through social media is absolutely fantastic. And on our end, we want to invite you whenever you want to come this season. Let us know. I got a pair of 45-yard line tickets in Neyland Stadium that I would love to give to you to any game you'd like to come to this season. So you just let us know, and we'll get you involved here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and we'll have ourselves a great time once you get that hip. You know, everything worked out in there and your physical therapy done, but we look forward to having you at Neyland Stadium in our tailgate parties with us this year for Tennessee football.
Well, you know, that's an invite that I will not turn down. I'm going to look at my schedule with my up-and-coming bookings that I have and pick a game to which I have that weekend open.
Yep.
I think right now I've got to go all the way into November as the way things are looking in my bookings. But certainly, you know, would love to rub shoulders with you guys and put a, what is it, put a name with a face or a face with a name.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Get to meet you guys.
Absolutely. There's two home games in November. So you just look at the schedule and you text or DM me and we'll more than happy to have you sit with us and hang out with us. And I'm sure all the fans would love to see you. But we so appreciate you coming on today and talking Tennessee football and talking about your career. Is there anything that you're doing right now in Florida or for the WWE that you would like to promote and let people know about? I saw a video that you had put out the other day down in Florida. If you want to promote that as well, the floor is yours, sir.
Just trying to save some green space here in our community, in our neighborhood behind us. There's a golf course that was here for a number of years, and these new developer guys said they tried to make a go of it and couldn't, so they shut it down, and now they want to put houses and condos and build it all up. We got very little green space here in the Pinellas County area, and we are banding together. They tried in 2014, they were unsuccessful. They tried to change the zoning from recreational to residential. And here they are trying it again. And we just like to keep the space as it is. We got a lot of wildlife here that's threatened, and they live here because they can live here in peace and prosper. And if they start developing it, when it's all gone, it'll never come back, and we may be losing some. So, with what little space we have here, we just want to keep it like the way Mother Nature wanted it.
Well, I'll make sure to put out a link through our website and on your Twitter page. And listen, we sure appreciate you. Tell your wife thank you for getting you introduced to East Tennessee and Tennessee football. And we'll make sure to get you a couple more shirts and, you know, a couple pairs of shorts down there to you for your trip up to East Tennessee. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for having me, you know, VFL, right?
Yes, sir. There you go. Anytime.
That's it. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
That was Ricky the Dragon. So much to talk about when we get outside
really great,
the break. Yeah. I can't get started now. I'm too excited. That was absolutely fantastic. We'll go back over the story that he talked about with Ric Flair because I think people need to hear that again. We're going to have this interview up for you probably in the next 20 to 30 minutes, but absolutely fantastic interview with Nuvol for Life, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. This is It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville.